Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Coming up this week, Comcast outbids Disney for control of Sky. Date-specific ticket pricing is coming to Walt Disney World. And every year, we have to have the talk. And it's that time again. The holidays are coming. All that coming up next. From the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Diz Unplugged. This is the Diz Unplugged, episode 1007 for the week of September 25th, 2018. The Diz Unplugged is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect Disney vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show, coming to you live from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined at the table this week by my good friends, Charles Boda.
Hello.
Kathy Werling.
Hi, everybody.
Teresa Eccles.
Hey.
Hey. Hey.
Corey Martin.
I'm just happy to be here.
And back in the production nook on the Switch, our associate producer, Mr. Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
And our producer, Mr. Craig Williams.
Hello.
Okay, come back to me real quick. I'm already due. Hey!
Much better. Much better. All right. Well, welcome to the show, everybody. Hope your week is off to a good start. I am so happy to be back. I had a wonderful 16 days.
Wow.
I was in Europe. First, I want to thank the 200-plus people who showed up for our meet in London. It was amazing. You guys were so nice and... We had a great time. It was really kind of overwhelming, especially since I was there by myself.
Yeah.
But everybody was really cool. It was a great time. I cannot wait to do it again. We will be doing something again next year. Don't have specifics yet, but and we will make sure this time that we have a venue large enough to hold everyone, that I won't have to turn people away.
Uh-huh.
I did that for a week, and then went on an Adventures by Disney Czech Republic and Austria trip that I gotta tell you was amazing.
Did you dance in the gazebo?
No.
Oh.
I'm going to do a whole show on the experience in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to do a whole show on it. I'm not going to go into details. Just want to say it was phenomenal. You are considering this particular adventure, I can't recommend it highly enough. But like I said, I'll go into more details with that in the next couple weeks. I want to just remind everybody, Saturday, November 24th, that is the Saturday after Thanksgiving, from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., we will be doing a marathon podcast. We are going to be launching a week-long live auction for Give Kids the World. It's going to be all online. And we have been getting some incredible stuff, more unique stuff this time than I think we've ever gotten before. People are sending in. If you have something you would like to donate for us to auction off, 100% of the proceeds go directly to Give Kids the World. You send that to the disboards.com Welcome Center at 6550 North Atlantic Avenue, Suite B, Cape Canaveral, Florida, 32920. And Teresa's been getting lots and lots of stuff.
Yeah. Can I mention a few things?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. The retro things stand out to me. We got a box of Mickey Mouse crayons from the 30s. Crayons are all still in there, and they do work. I tried one. And we've gotten some Mickey jewelry, old Mickey watches. We've got an entire set of a Mickey Village with different things, like a Christmas Village, old books, numerous amounts of artwork, a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff for Disneyland, buttons galore, pins, books. I've got a whole library of books. I mean, it's just amazing.
So we've got a lot of stuff coming in, a lot of unique stuff coming in. So if you have something that you'd like to donate, like I said, 100% of every dollar raised goes to Give Kids the World. We do not hold anything back. It does cost us to host the auction, but that comes out of Dreams Unlimited Travel. That's our donation. So 100% of everything we raise goes directly to Give Kids the World.
We're looking for vintage Frozen DVDs. Anybody has those, we'll take them.
That's going to be, like I said, Saturday, November 24th, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. We're going to be doing a live marathon podcast. 10 a.m. on the 24th is when the auction is going to go live, and the auction will remain running for 1 week until 10 p.m. Saturday, December 1st. So we're going to have a full week where the auction will be available online. It's going to be through Handbid, and as we get closer, we'll give you specifics about how to participate and sign up to be part of the auction. But it's really cool. It's worked really well for all of our auctions. The Handbid software has been great. So really excited about it. Really, really excited about it. We have some very, very cool stuff planned for this marathon show. We have some very cool stuff planned.
Tell us.
I can't because I want it to be a surprise.
Okay.
So, no, I will not tell you. It's very cool. Now I'm not going to tell you at all.
Just really?
Let you find out.
We're just going to have a camera pointed on an oven. There'll be a turkey in there. I'll watch it from start to finish.
Oh wow!
Yeah. Like the new York.
You know, that would cover. That would help me. That would help me cover some content time that I need to cover right now. So I'm trying to map out what 12 hours looks like. You know,
all of us eating leftovers all weekend.
Well, I'm actually for the guys who are people who are going to show up and participate. I have the caterer coming. So we're going to have food all day. We're going to cater for my caterer, who's amazing. Puff and Stuff Catering in Orlando does all my catering. They're amazing. So we're going to have all sorts of fun, cool stuff here. It'll be fun. And maybe we'll even auction off some spots here at the table for the live show.
Wow.
Maybe.
We'll have to bid on spots.
You're going to have to go through a psychological profile test first to
and
make
background
sure you're not
check.
Like, Sorry.
See what Europe does to you?
Yeah, well, yeah. Oh, God, I love Europe. I love Europe.
You just said that.
Europe is the best. And I am. I really need it. It was 2 weeks I needed. But let me get to that for a second, because there was something, an email that came in this week that really upset me. It really bothered me. Matthew from Delaware. I'm talking to you now. Here's what this charmer sent us. I will make this brief and try to express my concern with the direction of the podcast. The inconsistency of released episodes has become an issue. It's no wonder the podcast has been around for over a decade, but is years behind in terms of views and subscribers compared to many other top-tier Disney podcasts. Really? Who? Oh! Are you kidding me? It is frustrating from a longtime listener who does enjoy the content when it's available. One show a week for an hour, just get it done. I can't respond the way I'd like to without getting an explicit rating, but I think most people can guess what I would like to say to you. We've explained this before. I'll speak slowly because I think that's what you need in order to understand. This is not our full-time job, okay? The podcast is something we do in addition to our full-time job. This is run out of my home. These are all people with jobs and lives. And sometimes that gets in the way. Sometimes people are sick. If I'm sick, these guys cannot be here. Because if I get all them sick, guess what? The operation shuts down. So if I'm sick, or if we have a storm, which it's Florida in the summer, and I'm not in a news studio with redundant power supplies, then no, we're not going to do a show. In a case like last week, where I was on a much-needed vacation, John and Kevin are on a business trip, by the way. That's why they're not here. And Craig was unable to be here for very legitimate health reasons. So guess what? Four people are out. We can't, and my producer can't do a show. Can't do a show, because that's how it goes sometimes. So Matthew from Delaware, if our inconsistency is such an issue for you, and there are so many other top-tier Disney podcasts with so much more traffic and views than us, go watch them. Go watch them.
Bravo.
Amen.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I read that while I was in Europe. And I'm like, do I email this guy back or do I just wait till I get on the show?
I read it too.
I sent an email and I felt bad after I sent it too.
You shouldn't have. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Several.
And I can understand. Look, if you want to send me send us constructive criticism.
And we get them.
And we get them all the time. Mm-hmm. Okay? But one hour a week, get it done. Screw you. Go watch something else, jerk. Sorry.
Well, wait, before you say anything.
Okay.
Several people had contacted me directly, asking me what was wrong with Craig. And I gave them the truth. I said he was wearing wicker shoes and he'd lost a knife, fell through his shoe, and took your toe off.
On Thanksgiving?
On Thanksgiving, yes. So I actually told several people that because I said, he'll tell you when he wants to tell you.
Yeah, and so I just wanted to say thank you to everyone. Obviously, we did miss pretty much everything last week, and that was because I was out. So I've already, just before the show, I posted on social just because it's a whole long laundry list of everything that happened to me. So I don't want to get into it here. We have other important stuff to talk about. But thank you to everyone out there for understanding, and thanks for all the well wishes. It means a lot to me. I'm making sure to look directly into the camera right now.
As I'm saying that. It's been an issue, Craig.
Yeah, Craig, you have such a hard time with that.
Well,
yeah.
You know, instead of talking to the people at the table in front of me, I want to make sure this one is directly to the audience, since they're the ones out there who have been sending me all the great stuff. So thank you so much to everyone. It really does mean a lot. I'm back. So, and if anything else happens to me, and I step away from a while, I hope you understand.
I just want to underscore that you didn't have a fever, okay? You were very sick. It was an emergency sick.
Yeah, yes, it was.
So, yeah.
Get it done, Craig.
Yeah, get it done, Craig.
Damn. Just everyone out there, if you feel sick, go to the doctor. Don't wait. It's worth the money.
If you feel something, say something, right?
It's.
I do every time, Corey.
Now, look, especially because, and you've driven me crazy with this, that the number of times I've literally made him leave work because he needed to go to a doctor and wouldn't go. So I knew when I got the call at, I think it was 4 a.m. in the morning while I was in Salzburg, that he was in the ER, that if Craig went, going to a doctor unprovoked is big enough. An ER, oh my God. So I knew something serious was going on. Thankfully, he did go and see somebody because it was a serious condition. And so I'm very grateful that you're okay. But I'm watching you like a hawk.
And I just want to point out to people, it's not because of the amount of hot dogs we have from Casey's Corner. Because that's been a recurring...
Well, we don't know that. we don't know that.
It's definitely not from that. I will not give up hot dogs anytime soon.
All right, what else do we have in housekeeping?
I just have a quick note to any of our written contributors. If you've submitted anything and it's been a while and you haven't seen a pop-up or gotten any feedback and you haven't emailed us, even if we've used your stuff before, remember, every time you submit an article, you have to email us so that we know and I can add it to my queue. We can get it edited, get it published. So, on that note, we're getting a lot of great stuff. And thank you for all of some of the amazing ideas and amazing articles that we're able to put on the site. And we really appreciate it. And if you want those articles to get seen, you need to let us know that you've finished with them and that you've submitted them for approval. Occasionally we'll get feedback from people where it's been a few months and they're kind of curious or wondering whether it's going out. So if we don't know about it, then it doesn't end up on the site. So just really quickly, just wanted to get that out of the way.
All right.
I have one thing too. I just wanted to give a shout out to the two people. I was at the Florida Mall yesterday and walked in, and there were two people in there that watched the show. Oscar, who I've met several times, Craig's met him before. He was the one at the Star Wars celebration. That's mm-hmm. how we got our Kiki Tiki mugs. And he had a friend that she wasn't there in the moment, and I feel really bad, but I cannot remember your name, but you know who you are, who I'm talking about. But she, started crying when she saw us, and I wish I...
Well, you scare people with that head.
Yeah, that's why I thought security was going to come in and drag me out. But, but it was very nice to meet them and chat with them, and if one or the two of you could reach out to me on social media, because I just realized that, Oscar, I don't... think we're like following each other or anything, and I can't remember the girl's name, so I would like to communicate with you about something, so please reach out to me. If you're not them, don't talk to me.
Oh.
There's that. No, of course she cried. She sees this ginormous head come in the store like, oh my God, how is that alive?
It was a FaceTime first, and then she drove all the way from her apartment to the store before I left to see me. So,
wow,
she was
commitment.
Very, very excited. Yeah, well, I know. It's like, oh, sorry to let you down, but
yeah, really. I never thought I'd meet you in a Victoria's Secret.
Shush.
All right. Anything else? Anything else for housekeeping? Anything? Anything going once? Going twice? All right. Let's talk about a couple of things in the news. First and foremost. We've been talking for a while, as I open up the story, we've been talking for a while about this battle between Comcast and Disney. First, it was over Fox, 20th Century Fox, or 21st Century Fox, I guess it is now. And, of course, Disney prevailed in that battle. But the next line in the battle was control of Sky, the broadcast network in Europe, that both the head of Comcast and the head of Disney have termed the crown jewel. So there was a lot of battle going on for this. And while it's not official yet, because it won't be official until the Sky board votes on it, it appears that Comcast has the winning bid to take over Sky. In total, they offered $40 billion.
Wow.
$22.59 per share, and Fox, which is really Disney, offered $35 billion. Now, keep in mind that, technically speaking, Comcast offered more for 21st Century Fox than Disney did, but the board felt that going with Disney stood a better chance of clearing regulatory hurdles, which wasn't hurt by the fact that the Justice Department had come out before and said, yeah, we're all good with this. Mm-hmm. And so now what happened here was an independent board was created to accept basically auction bids for this. And so this board released that Comcast had the highest bid, and they're very, very excited about it. It will not be official until, I want to say, it's mid-October when the board meets to approve it. And everybody's acting like this is a done deal. And why do I have this feeling that Iger is just not going to give up that that easily?
Well, that's the thing about it is, you know, with this, for everybody who knows or doesn't know, once Disney gets a hold of those shares, once their deal passes European regulators, Disney will have 39%
right.
of Sky shares. So Comcast will still have the majority, but Disney will have 39%. Now, they can sell that straight off the bat. New York Times estimated that would, if they sold directly, they'd make up around 10 billion pounds, I think. So do your conversions wherever you can. But they could sell it right away, or they could hold on to it and use it for leverage for a later on, for a decision later
on. Oh, look, 39%, yeah. 39% of the stock in a company, you can be a real thorn in Comcast's side.
And that's the thing is right now, you know, let's say both deals go through, Comcast will have control, but they will still be beholden to Disney for the direction of the company. That 39% stake is a very large stake. So they'll still have to pay attention to one of their larger shareholders. Disney will have no control over the company in general, but they can hold out on that 39% later on saying, okay, we don't want the $10 billion right now, but if you give us these intellectual properties or option these deals for us, we'll add that in. And so they could sell outright, and it'd be a hefty chunk of change. But it's not, like as you said, it's not a done deal. They can hold this as a bargaining chip for as long as they want.
And, you know, keep in mind that there is a lot of bad blood between Iger and, what the heck is his name again? Is it Brian Roberts or Brian Roberts, who's the head of Comcast? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of bad blood because of in 2004, Comcast attempted a hostile takeover at Disney. And of course, it didn't succeed. But that became a blood feud between these two guys, and that played out in full view of everyone with the Fox acquisition. Also keep in mind that Rupert Murdoch has been trying. Rupert Murdoch has had this 39% of Sky for a while. He's been trying to acquire the rest of it. He wanted Sky, but he kept running into roadblocks with British regulators. And I'm not being political here. I'm not being political at all. They took a look at Fox News and said, no, we're not doing that over here. So that's why it was a constant roadblock for him. They did not feel it would be responsible for him to have control of a major news network like that in the UK or in Europe. So, you know, with Disney coming in, they thought they may have a chance at it. And that's why I don't... Somebody suggested that maybe this was a side deal and Disney said, listen, get out of our way with 21st Century Fox. We'll get out of your way with Sky News. But that doesn't make any sense because Comcast wouldn't have... You know, there wouldn't be this bidding war for it. Disney would have just acquiesced. Is somebody coming?
It's garbage day here on this street and...
It's your neighbors. It's not any of us.
Okay.
It's not any
of us. That was the concern. So.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes, like, because the street's kind of narrow.
Yeah.
And if people park on both sides, the garbage trucks can't get down. So, so interesting. I do not think I don't think this is the end of this story, personally. I don't think it's the end of this story. But we'll see. We'll see. The other thing that I found very interesting this week is that Disney has finally, we knew it was coming, we just didn't know when, has finally gone to date-based ticket pricing. This basically means that the price you will pay for a ticket, this includes park hoppers and everything else, is now going to be dependent on the date that you want to visit and will only be valid for a certain amount of time after you buy it. Am I getting this right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's tiered depending on the day ticket.
Yeah. So a one-day ticket will only be good on the date you selected when you first purchased it. Oh, and we have someone at the door.
Shipments from Europe.
No, actually, I'm going to tell you something. This was the least amount of shopping I have done ever when I've traveled. I said to Charles, I've already bought everything, so there's nothing left to buy. I've bought all of Europe. But anyway, so a one-day ticket is only going to be good on the date you select. So if you say, I need a one-day ticket for October 18th, that's the only day you're going to be able to use it.
Wow.
A two-day ticket, any 2 days within a four-day period beginning on the start date that you selected. So if you say October 13th, you have until October 17th. Basically, to use those 2 days. And it goes on and on like that. With a 10-day ticket, can be any 10 days within a 14-day period. So, you know, who was that?
Garbage man, Teresa, can I get your keys, please?
Oh, so it was one of us. It was one of us.
Corey took this spot.
No, I told you where to park, and you decided to park closer.
I couldn't park it there.
I pointed, because, you know... I'll park mine down the street.
Just the excitement of live recording.
Yeah. You never know what's going to happen.
This definitely takes trip planning to a whole new level.
Well, mm-hmm. You know, I was just going to say, you know, a few years ago when they switched up the ticket structure, we were joking that you're going to need a PhD to figure out how to buy a ticket. Now, I don't know. What's after PhD? Yeah. Because now you need that. When you have to factor this in, it complicates.
You can't even gift tickets anymore.
No.
Well, here are your tickets.
You can give a gift card.
Merry Christmas. You need to go these dates. Hope it works out.
How do people even, like the people that are working the ticket booth, even understand that? You know what I mean? I think about like the training that must be involved, like a really complicated test in order to train the cast member on being like, okay, when somebody wants a ticket, this is how you explain the price. Are they just like hoping people don't understand? And then they just buy whatever?
The email we got today said that this is supposed to be easier for travel agents. And it's like, I don't understand.
I will tell you this. Easier for maybe, look, but this is not going to help brokers. I don't know how places like the Official Ticket Center and even Dreams Unlimited Travel can sell tickets anymore, because we, you know, we Dreams, we sell based on a certain price. But now it's just, it's nearly impossible unless we tap into their database.
It's weird.
It's insane.
And
is what it is.
Guests are going to be able to go into their My Disney Experience and change their tickets around, even if they've booked through a travel agent.
Oh,
so that's going to be interesting to see how that goes, because Disney just said, well, they'll just have to pay the extra money, but, you know, they're paying the extra money over here, but we don't know about it over here if you're our client.
Well, this all goes into effect in a few weeks, October 16th. You are going to see a mad rush between now and the 16th on tickets under the current plan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because it's a really good idea. The official ticket center is who we go through for tickets. We do have a financial relationship, so I do want to be upfront about that. But they're very reputable. We've been doing business with them for years. They sell discounted Disney tickets. We'll have a link to it in the show notes page. It'll just remind me to remind Craig.
Yeah, you have to use our code. In our ticket page, all the links have our code in it, so just don't go there and buy them. You're not going to give us credit.
That's right. We want credit. Yeah. So there's going to be a rush. There's going to be a mad rush on these tickets before this goes into.
And it would be a good idea to get them now, because it's the expiration date and the rules for what it currently is. Once this starts, you know, you're
right. Those tickets aren't going to be, you can't sell them.
Right.
You can't sell those tickets.
Oh.
Once, yeah, that all that ticket stock goes away, because now it's going to this. So anything that is done, purchased before the 16th, is going to be legit. Anything after the 16th is going to have to be on this.
Do you think we'll see an increase of annual pass holders?
I don't know what we're going to see.
Because with something like that, it almost becomes, you know, worthwhile to just buy an annual pass. I mean, if you're going to come a couple times a year or stay here for
I've had a number of people since I sent the email out ask if they should go ahead and get it, and I'm like, yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah. I think that remains to be seen whether or not that's going to be a push for annual passes, but part of this is about capitalizing on busy days. And let's see what the pricing structure is really going to look like when all is said and done.
I want to see what happens, like, on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
When there's, like, a bazillion people.
How far away are we from the time when a one-day ticket to the Magic Kingdom on Christmas Day is $200?
Yeah.
I don't think we're that far away.
No. Will they start doing things like, that day sold out, you can't come? Is that what's going to happen?
Well, I mean, they already do that.
Well, but I'm just saying in general, what if everybody, you know, say, just pick some random date, well, January 18th. What if,
you know, everybody buys it? You know, that's actually a really good point. You know, does this now let Disney know, give Disney the ability to know exactly, with the exception of annual pass holders,
it's going to happen,
which they can kind of divine how many are going to show up on a particular day. But then now they're going to know that we have X number of tickets sold for this day. So, you know, is there the possibility? I'm just playing devil's advocate. Is there the possibility that now that they'll know definitively in advance how many tickets are going to be used on a specific day, that maybe they ramp up the number of cast members working, maybe they ramp up certain things, as opposed to the way they're doing it now?
It seems like that could go the opposite direction, too. You know what I mean? Like, oh, well, we didn't sell that many tickets in advance in this, so, you know, we've talked about before when, like, they only have half the amount of cast members working, how it like, on the slow days, makes a slow day become a busy day. So now if they're like, well, the science is pointing us to this, we definitely don't need these people, and then all of a sudden there's a rush of people that, like, come in that day.
And they're going to be able to tell, so these people are staying on property, they have a ticket, but we've sold all these other tickets for people that obviously aren't staying on property for that specific day. Are they going to be able to give us discounts in the resorts to get the people to stay on property instead of off property, because they now know?
One of the things in there said, because I was wondering if they were going to change it based on what they thought, you know, how busy they were going to be, but they said they were going to release the calendar for the whole 2019. So you'll be able to look for, like, next December. So they've already done some calculating for what they think is going to be busy.
Wow.
or slope.
It's going to be very, very interesting how this plays out. And I wonder also how much of it, you know, there's a thread on the boards that's been trending a lot the last week, talking specifically about some of the cutbacks that people are seeing lately around the parks. And speculation is that it was Disney's acquisition, the same way when they had overruns with Shanghai, that the parks had to bear the brunt of that. That's what gave us Cabanas in Tomorrowland. And now with the acquisition of 21st Century Fox, that Disney is looking to make sure they put some more money in the balance sheet as they come to the end of their fiscal year at the end of this month. So the reason this is starting in October is that's the beginning of their next fiscal year. So they have a full fiscal year with this new.
I'm wondering how often these prices will change. I mean, if it's database driven, they can change it. It can increase or decrease. Is it going to be like?
Fills up,
is it going to be like buying stocks?
Is it going to be like buying booking cruise line? Where right. You know you need to book these 18 months out. You need to buy these 18 yeah. months out because that's going to be the lowest price, and then we're going to go to tier pricing literally on tickets. It's insane. From a business perspective, I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But. You know, part of it is that, especially with the introduction of My Disney Experience some years ago, Disney realized we can make people jump through lots and lots and lots of hoops, and they will still spend top dollar, and they will still come, and we'll still make money year over year.
Mm-hmm.
So there is absolutely nothing to there's nothing to deter them from making it more complicated or more difficult. And of course, their emails and their marketing is going to say, oh, this makes it easier for you. No, it doesn't. Mm-mm. No part of this makes anything easier for us. No part of it. Not as travel agents, not as fans. There's no part of this that makes it convenient or better for us. Mm-mm. The only way that could possibly be the case is if this really does have a positive impact on crowds. And, of course, that will be part, as they get pushback, that will be part of the response, because it always is, that our prices are so high because that's the only way we can keep the crowds lower. You know, everybody complains about the crowds. So we raise the ticket prices and we raise all these prices in order to deter people from coming so that there's fewer crowds in the park, but we can make our money.
But what's it going to be like when they announce when Star Wars opens? What are the tickets going to be?
Well, why do you think this is coming into effect this fiscal year? Okay, they need to be able to charge premium. I'm going to make a prediction right now. Before the end of 2019, we will see a $200 one-day ticket.
Oh God.
We will see a $200 one-day ticket.
Especially
now, whether that's the opening of Star Wars or whether that's Christmas or something else, I don't know. But I really believe by the end of next year, with this model now, they are free to do it.
Yep.
Because prior to this, if they wanted to raise the price of tickets, they went to seasons, value season, peak season, but it wasn't. This is how you yield hotel rates.
Mm-hmm.
This mm-hmm. is how you yield hotel rates. That you change it based on the day. So as a hotel fills up, as a cruise line fills up, the price goes up.
So there'll be no more, get your tickets now, prices are going up
no.
next week. That's nope. gone.
Look at the opening of Toy Story Land. For example, I'm sure they learned, even though a lot of those, I would assume, were annual pass holders or a lot of people buying tickets in anticipation for. But if Toy Story Land was that crowded, I can only imagine what Star Wars is going to be right. like.
We will see by the end of next year. Or when Star Wars opens, whichever comes first, we will see a $200 one-day ticket.
Golly.
Especially for Star Wars.
Yeah.
They have to pay for the amount of construction that they have been doing for the last 17 years. Okay? It's been Walt Construction World for as long as I can remember now. And they have to pay for that somehow.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Now, while we talk about all this stuff, Interesting rumor came across the wire just before the show started. On our boards, and this is a rumor, okay? I want to be really upfront with that, but I think it's a rumor that has merit. A rumor on the boards, someone who works at Pizza Rizzo was told by management the restaurant will be closing permanently on October 20th. Do we believe them? Yes or no?
On October 20th?
On October 20th, Pizza Rizzo will close permanently.
I've never had the pizza.
Yeah, it's going to close.
Why do you say that?
If the rumor's out there, chances are it's going to happen. And it's never...
Are you familiar with the internet?
Well, you know what I mean. But... like, if you've ever gone there, it's never all that crap.
Well, if you've ever gone there, you know the pizza's crap.
Right.
So, it's like cardboard. You know.
Their meatball hoagie was good, but I don't think they knew what to do with that space, or they hurried up and made that space, and I think in their minds they're thinking, hey, can we do something Star Wars or do something?
Well, that's the other thing. Some people are speculating that this is going to become part of Galaxy's Edge, which...
See, I don't know if it will become part of Galaxy's Edge, but I was just there last week, and once again, you know, a great space, completely dead inside. But up on that outside standing area, that's where you could first see, now they've got the walls up more and everything, but that's where you could first see the Galaxy's Edge construction up from there. And so it's got a great view and, like, a great way to tie it into a different place, but it's always dead. So it's amazing location, but just... terrible food and not great theming.
So is it dead? Is it dead because of its location, or is it dead because the food sucks?
No, it's not dead because of its location. The location actually is, I mean, it's not out in the open or anything like that, but it's a very comfortable place to eat. Mm-hmm. And the theming is poorly done or almost non-existent, and the food is bad. The theming was more immersive and the food increased, that location could easily get, especially with that, now, you know, they've got the outdoor patio that's got that view right into Galaxy's Edge. You're looking right at the entrance. They could do something really cool with it. And every single time I go there, the first thing that pops into my head is, why don't they do something really cool with this?
Yeah.
Well, see, I'll play the other side of it, though. When we do the Daily Fix from Hollywood Studios, inevitably, we always edit inside Pizza Rizzo because they have a lot of plugs by a lot of their tables. And I've been in there when the entire bottom floor will be completely packed. The restaurant itself isn't always dead. It's just a massive space for what it is. They did not need two floors for seating for this place. It wasn't like Pizza Planet when you had all the arcade games in the middle of the floor and you just had seating surrounding on the outside. So I don't think the crowds are the issue with this. The only thing that would lead me away from ever believing this is right now Disney is not in the mood to spend extra money on stuff. They just paid for this renovation that finished up 2 years ago, less than that. They just renovated the store that is technically the Muppets exit gift shop. They just opened that back up with the complete renovation where it's finished. They're renovating all this area. I don't see them then saying like, okay, well, we did all that and now we're turning around and we're gonna scrap all that. Not when they're in the money press they are in.
I really don't think if it does close, I think it is gonna be closed to be reworked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And pray that reworking includes I don't know,
food,
a brick oven, and a recipe that doesn't make me want to gag when I eat a piece of pizza. Yeah. It's cardboard with ketchup on it. That's the pizza they serve.
I don't think it's gonna be Star Wars though, because that land and that line is already drawn.
No, unless if it becomes Star Wars, then I'm sorry, but Muppet Vision 3D is in danger.
Well, that's the thing, is that I think they had a lot of success with their baseline Tap House, and maybe it could be something along that line, where they're like, okay, this worked, this type of an environment worked, let's recreate this environment in a larger place.
All I know is that, because I did cheat on my diet in Europe, okay? I know.
I'm done, I'm walking off.
I got a piece of pizza in Salzburg, Austria, that was phenomenal. And I'm like, okay, if they can do this in Salzburg, why can't we do it in Hollywood Studios?
Right.
Why? I don't understand. Why? they can't make a decent slice of pizza.
It's the water.
In a Disney-owned restaurant.
Or even, we're talking about that space. I mean, just, why does it have to all be pizza? Can't we just...
Let it be pizza, because it's not like good pizza is the holy grail of the culinary world. It's done. It's done a lot of places.
I get that.
People know how to do it. Hire them. Bring them in. Buy the stuff you need and make a decent slice of pizza.
But we don't need that big of a space for pizza. What if it was created into almost like a market, not necessarily a food court, but where they have great pizza and they have great other options too? That where it's not a one-stop shop for just pizza. Let's have some sushi in there.
It's worked well at Universal with the Simpsons area, having different styles of food all in one
place. A one-stop shop. Y'all want pizza? I want this. So.
Yep. Yeah. All right. That'll do it for the news. Let's go ahead and move on to rapid fire. Charles, we'll start with you.
All right. One moment for me, please.
Didn't see that coming, did you?
I did not. I thought we were going to. Well, it doesn't matter. So anyway, Walt Disney World announces Pixar Place retheming and much more coming in 2019. The Disney Parks blog had released, 19 things in 19... for 2019 that we consolidated here. So starting January 18th, 2019, they'll have the Mickey and Minnie Mouse surprise celebration, which will bring new music, dancing, and all sorts of other fun to Magic Kingdom Park. For starters, the new Move It, Shake It, Mouse Could Dance It street party.
I just threw up a little in my mouth.
Mouse Could Dance It. Street party.
Okay, never repeat that word again.
Which word? Street party?
Mouse could dance it.
Oh, mouse could dance it.
Like mouse could doodle.
Now you made me say it.
We'll invite guests to dance along with Mickey, Minnie, and their pals in front of Cinderella Castle. Shake it along with live singers, belting out new arrangements of classic Mickey Mouse
Club songs. Since you have brought that word into my world... Rhino, I want you to go into the parks with Charles, and I want video of him mouse dancing with Minnie, okay?
Yeah, good. But we know how Charles dances. It'll be...
Yeah, Charles.
He puts his headphones in.
No, Charles dances.
Yeah, he's really severe. That on video.
He has this really severe look on his face, and...
I've seen Charles dance.
That's we call it Charles dancing.
I just grimace in a corner and fight.
It's all business.
Well, now you're going to do it with Minnie Mouse next to you.
And that's when my annual pass is revoked.
I want to go. I want to watch.
We should do that as an auction.
Yeah.
Dance with Charles.
I mean, anything for charity.
Anything. Okay, cool.
It's got to be
it's
you.
It's not a bachelor auction, Teresa.
It's got to be you with the sunglasses on, the headphones in, with that look, and doing this. with somebody else, just doing crazy all around you.
Earbuds in, listening to Finnish folk metal. Okay, and speaking of Finnish folk metal, the Dapper Dans and other entertainers on Main Street USA at Magic Kingdom Park will sing songs in honor of Mickey and Minnie. Look for special Mickey and Minnie-themed merchandise and food at Magic Kingdom Park to make this party complete. Limited time Magic Entertainment and other experiences will pop up periodically around Magic Kingdom Park. Next up, the Incredibles are coming to Disney's Hollywood Studios as Pixar Place receives a transformation into a Metroville city block. At the end of the block, a party will be held in honor of Mr. Incredible, Mrs. Incredible, and Frozone to celebrate their super deeds. Meet the one and only Edna Mode.
Oh, okay.
I was waiting for the swoon.
That's, I love me some Edna.
The greatest supersuit designer who will be set up in a special location on Pixar Place showcasing some of her capeless creations. Also on Pixar Place, guests can look for clues to the whereabouts of the mischievous and multi-powered Jack-Jack. A door to the Monster World will open inside Walt Disney Presents, where guests will have the chance to meet Mike and Sully from Pixar's Monsters, Inc. and celebrate the 25th anniversary of Walt Disney Pictures' The Lion King at Disney's Animal Kingdom, along with Timon and Rafiki in the Hakuna Matata Time dance party on Discovery.
Okay, did you miss the part where this was rapid fire?
I'll make up for his.
Thank you.
He's talking rapidly. Yeah,
I had this in bullet points, and then you went to rapid fire before I expected it, so now I'm just going straight from the article. So a lot of great things happening. If you'd like to check out the article in full, it's once again called Walt Disney Announces... Pixar Place retheming, and much more coming in 2019. That will be all from me. This has been a Rapid Fire by Charles Boda, not wasting your time.
Thank you, Charles. Kathy?
Okay. Disney Cruise Line is announcing the early 2020 itineraries on Thursday at 11 a.m.
Awesome.
Yay.
And the rumor is they're going to release the cruises next week to separate it from the ticket thing, where usually itineraries come out in October, like late October. So it looks like Disney.
Yeah, I thought this is awfully early for a cruise release. Not unheard of. We've had it in September before, but usually it's in October. And you think that's the reason why they're trying to separate it from the ticket cluster?
Yes.
Fudge?
Squirrel.
But we're also hearing that they're going to be announcing new departure ports and some exciting new itineraries. We have no word yet on what those are.
You think they're going to try to gauge this with the upcoming ships to see what?
I think they're going to have. You know, it's funny because I was thinking about that. They're going to have to start dipping their toe in the water for some itineraries when they add more ships.
This might be a test.
I think we're going to start seeing those tests to see. Because the first new ship comes online, when, 2020?
Yeah.
2021?
I think it's 2020. Is it 21?
Maybe.
It's one of those.
I think it's 21, 22, and 23. Right?
Is that it? Okay. So, but now, yeah, this would make sense that the 2019 season or the 2020 season would be the last one they have to test out where they're going to put some of these ships. I'm sure they already know where they want to put them. But I think they want to see what itineraries are going to work. So it should be interesting. But Thursday, 11 a.m.?
Yes.
So we will have full coverage of that on the Diz. That's a big one. That's a big one.
Full coverage.
And I'll go ahead and give the plug for Dreams Unlimited Travel. You get a nice shipboard credit when you book with Dreams. So, and Kathy and Teresa. Kathy and Teresa can help you with that.
Mm-hmm. We can.
And I am an owner in Dreams Unlimited Travel, so I have to do full disclosure because I'm plugging in.
Kathy W. at dreamsunlimitedtravel.com.
Thank you. And Teresa at dreamsunlimited.com.
No, it's T. Eccles.
Oh, that's what it's Teckles.
T-E-C-H-O-L-S. Teckles at dreamsunlimitedtravel.com.
Kathy, I set you up and you pulled your dream.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathy. Teresa.
All right. Disney Parks Blogs has announced that My Beloved Illuminations, Reflections of Earth is set to end its nearly 20-year run in the second half of 2019. The live entertainment team is already working on the new show that will debut immediately following the conclusion of Illuminations, similar to when Wishes ended and Happily Ever After began at Magic Kingdom. Our fireworks are going away, Corey.
I know. Long gone.
Those
blue
the first
ball.
Fireworks that I experienced with Corey. Okay. The current plan is to have Illuminations Reflections of Earth run to the end of summer 2019, so guests will have time to see it before it's gone. This new spectacular is a part of the multi-year transformation of Epcot that was announced during the 2017 D23 Expo. The new shows join several previously announced experiences coming to Epcot, including the highly anticipated Guardians of the Galaxy roller coaster attraction, a Ratatouille-inspired attraction in World Showcase, and a new table service restaurant adjacent to Mission Space. It's exciting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to miss it, but
I will too, good. But, you know, I have hope in my heart that they will do... They will do it justice.
It'll be fine. So. It'll be fine.
You say that.
Gird your loins, girl.
Gird your loins. It'll be fine. It's all going to be good.
People hate change, so.
It's all going to be good. Really.
It's going to be way more Disney and way more family friendly. And that's what matters about Epcot.
And last World Showcase.
There will be actually a festival, so you'll be able to walk out on the water while the fireworks are happening and buy stuff from kiosks.
We'll go on.
We'll move on now. Thank you, Teresa.
Is it we go on or we... No. Anyway, all right, this is going to be fast because Charles
he said
long.
That
so,
too.
All right, Disney announces dates for the 2019 Festival of the Arts and the Flower and Garden Festival. The Festival of the Arts will be January 18th through February 25th, and then just... more than a week later, the Flower and Garden starts March 6th through June.
And I think they need to change the name. It's got to be Flower and Wine now. I think they need to adopt that. It's Flower and Wine.
Or Wine and Garden.
Aren't all
or
Wine and Garden. Food, wine, and some flowers? Not really.
Yeah. About just springtime.
Epcot Festival of the World. They can use it year round.
Keep it going.
What are you on? You're just like, it'll all be family friendly.
Blood thinners.
They will.
He's on blood thinners at 31. All right, thank you, Corey. Rhino.
Okay, so mine is...
And why do you guys look like you were lit by Ed Wood?
Because we were. Yeah. We brought him back from the dead just for this one show. This
is special lighting.
You're glowing over there.
Yeah, it looks like you literally like you're in Three Mile Island or something.
Okay, October 1st is China National Day, which commences Golden Week, a seven-day national celebration of the founding of the People's Republic of China. And across the country, China has parades, fireworks, and concerts all in celebration of this holiday. Well, at Walt Disney World, Epcot is encouraging guests to visit the China Pavilion on October 1st to learn about the Chinese national holiday. We know Epcot has something planned to celebrate. Unfortunately, the specific details are vague at this time. All that is definitely known is that during the day, guests can participate in a discovery experience. Okay, well, this was stupid. I should have read this all the way through before.
Yeah, you really should have.
Because if Disney releases
what happens when you phone in your rapid fire?
Well, it was like, oh, that. Yeah, oh, I was ready. They're doing something, and then the thing was, they sure are, but nobody knows. Like,
it's
okay.
A state secret.
It's a state secret.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to start making.
Well, they're
stuff
keeping
up.
It a secret because they don't want tariffs to be imposed on whatever they do in the pavilion. Don't bother. Thank you, Rhino Craig.
Okay. Conservation Station and Rafiki's Planet Watch to close permanently in October. So, yeah, it's...
Look at the camera.
Is anyone upset about this? Other than Kathy?
I do like...
Kathy, the patron saint of crappy attractions. Is anybody upset about Rafiki's Planet Watch and Conservation Station?
Only
closing?
For one thing. One of the coolest aspects of the Conservation Station was getting to watch them do surgery on the animals. And that's like one of those unique things that you really couldn't get anywhere else. Besides that, like I hate the petting zoo. I don't like goats. Goats freak me out. So, goats and ostriches, they're just terrible animals.
I hate ostriches.
More on that later. But yeah,
we need to dive into that later.
I did enjoy watching the animals go through surgery. Was it
like the same animal all the time? Or what?
He enjoys watching the animals go through surgery. I want that on a t-shirt. I enjoy watching animals through surgery.
Experimental surgery?
No, they had to go through the surgery. You're just invited in to watch it.
I'll agree.
No, no, that's going to live. That is going to live in infamy now. I enjoy watching animals go through surgery. You know, you have a PR problem to begin with, okay? Don't help.
You know how your neighbor's cats keep going missing?
Right? I'm going to make little Christmas ornaments of animals in surgery.
Who was the guy that ate people in Milwaukee?
Jeffrey Dahmer?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Wow. That went off the rails fast. Okay.
Let me tell you something about like Rafiki's Planet Watch. I probably would have went there more often if I didn't have to catch a train.
That's
to go.
Right. That's
I,
right.
I could just walk along a path.
Train ride. Train.
Yeah, but you had to get there.
You have to wait.
But the train also was part of the theming for Harambe Village, like to see the train come through. Like if they could have found a way to just have it make like a little circle there, except they're going to use that for a dessert train.
Of course they are.
A dessert train to go see the animals.
Well, I don't know if they're going to go see the animals, but it's going to be
the animals aren't there anymore.
Wait, like at parks and they do like dessert on the train. I'm bummed out. Anytime there's a train around, I like trains. So yeah. that to me is the only reason why I really liked.
All right, and I have lost interest in this discussion. So we're gonna move on.
Had no mode.
Okay. Yeah, really. I hung in there as long as I could.
He did.
But once it went to I like trains. Okay, I'm out.
High point, and then it just dropped.
I'm out. All right, let's have a little discussion. I know it sounds insane, but we need to really talk about the holidays. It's going to be October. And Thanksgiving and Christmas are right around the corner. These are the busiest times of the year at Walt Disney World. In fact, I think October through December, in general, with Food and Wine, the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, and then, of course, all the holiday stuff that happens in November and December, I think this is the busiest season of the year now. And used to be summer. It's not anymore. It's this. And invariably, we start getting the questions from people who have not yet planned, that are, you know, either just decided or really kind of casually planned to be in Walt Disney World at the holidays. So I thought we maybe just should have a talk about these holidays coming up. Now, one of the things I asked you guys to do before the show was to think about one restaurant that you would have Thanksgiving dinner in that isn't Liberty Tree Tavern or California Grill.
Oh, Thanksgiving. Okay.
Thanksgiving meal. Where would you go?
I'll start. I think it depends on, like for us, we don't do Thanksgiving dinner. We've really? Always done Thanksgiving lunch, and then we feast all day until we pass.
We do that. That's what we do.
So I would have to pick a lunch spot, not necessarily. And it's casual. You know, you're feasting and you're watching football, so it's not something very formal. Y'all might think it's crazy, but for me, it'd probably be Garden Grill for lunch, and then spend the rest of the day at Epcot.
Really? That'd work.
That's your choice?
For Thanksgiving, something very casual.
If it's something where you want to...
And I like a lot of food, so mm-hmm. Thanksgiving for me is just you continue to eat all day.
And you have that option at Epcot. Well, yeah, you absolutely have that option at Epcot.
And they serve turkey.
That is... well, they do serve turkey there and at Garden Grill, so that's where... Yeah. When Kylie and I go for our candlelight dining packages, that's where we always try to go because it's kind of like it's the best way to get that holiday-ish meal in before you go see the candlelight processional. Mm-hmm. So that was actually my pick, too.
So it was Garden Grill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, wow. What about you, Teresa?
I'm crazy.
I didn't say you were crazy, no, Corey.
I said I was crazy.
It's all right.
Co-razy. Go ahead.
Homecoming.
Okay.
Homecoming.
That was my second
homecoming.
Choice, too.
Homecoming.
Are you doing ASMR, like the whispering into the microphone?
No, I'm talking. I'm just, what do you homecoming. Want me to do? I don't want to yell, but I don't want to.
No, Art Smith's homecoming at
but then
Disney Springs.
I would also maybe, because it's Thanksgiving and I want to be thankful for my favorite restaurant, I might go to Morimoto, too, because I absolutely love Morimoto.
Mm.
And interestingly enough, I looked before, early this morning, I wanted to see what restaurants still had availability on Thanksgiving. Both of those restaurants,
really?
Morimoto and Homecoming, both have availability, along with the Candlelight Processional Dining Package. It's only available at Tokyo, Chefs de France, and Nine Dragons. Mm. So none of those three restaurants really strike me as particularly Thanksgiving-y. But if you wanted to doing the Candlelight Processional, though, on Thanksgiving, I think it would be really cool.
Thanksgiving, growing up, has always been about those specific foods that you grew up, you know, that you have on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been that way. Even when I got married and came south and I added into the southern comfort Thanksgiving foods, I met Pete. I'm adding in Italian comfort foods because you always have that on Thanksgiving.
Always.
So to me, it's kind of shifted and it's more about just be thankful for who's in my life. I'm going to cry. And the food that they bring into my world.
That's really what's more important, isn't it? Not just the people in your life, but the food they bring.
I don't know. And trying different things on Thanksgiving. You're together with your family or your friends, your loved ones.
Well, what about you, Kathy? A restaurant that isn't Liberty Tree or California Grill on Thanksgiving?
I said Mickey's Backyard Barbecue.
Well, that's being closed, so.
Well, that's one reason why I want to go, because I've never been there. And I figured that would be a good place to do, like...
It's terrible. Honest to God,
really?
The food is awful.
I thought you'd have said Beer Garden.
Well, I did. I had put that, and then I thought, now I need... Since all this change is going on, so my choices were Mickey's Backyard Barbecue, Trails End, the Turf
Trails
Club.
End.
Trails End is awesome.
Trails
yeah.
End. Yeah, it's a good one.
And Whispering Canyon Cafe. I thought that would be sort of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. Trails End in particular. I love Trails End. This is the all-you-can-eat restaurant at Fort Wilderness, not to be confused with Wilderness Lodge. And it's one of my favorite places to eat. It's also, I think, the best value mm-hmm. buffet you're going to find anywhere on Disney property. Now, not for nothing, it takes a little bit of effort to get to it because there are boats and buses involved sometimes, but... it's worth it, in my opinion. Yeah. Just in Fort Wilderness, especially that time of year.
Mm-hmm.
That I hadn't even thought about that, but that Wilderness Lodge in Fort Wilderness, that decor, that ambiance at Thanksgiving, I think just is perfect Americana. Perfect Americana.
Yeah.
It's a really good choice.
yeah, as far as mine, like, unlike a lot of people, I don't have those fond memories of that specific food. Food doesn't matter to me. Like, I didn't really like family Thanksgivings growing up or anything like that. So all the associated turkey and the stuffing and stuff like that, I could take it or leave it. I don't have these, like, deep memories. So my best Thanksgivings, like, it revolves around kind of, like, the slightly cooler weather and friends who I'm with. You know, the people you choose to be in your life, that the families you make kind of deal. So the food style doesn't really matter to me, but the first one that popped into my head was Le Cellier. And the reason is because, you know, Florida weather doesn't really get cool, but it's a theme park, so you can imagine that it's cold out. And Le Cellier has this, you know, like, dark, warm environment, like the kind of place where you go during a cold winter to huddle in and be with the ones you love and eat warm cheese soup and just, like, eat a steak and stuff. So, like, the mood and the vibe is very much like a group of people for me. Like, you know, it's cold outside, gathering in a warm, comfortable place that's dimly lit and just having conversations and appreciating each other. So, like, I haven't, well, I guess that's why, but that one popped into my head completely out of nowhere. I don't think about Le Cellier a lot. So I think that's the one
I'd choose. Because you have to take out a second mortgage in order to eat that.
Yes.
But yeah, no, it's a good, it's a good choice. Rhino, what about you?
I think Hoop-De-Doo Review for me.
Another one that's available on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
Both shows, by the way.
It is like an all-you-can-eat, so you can gorge like that if you want to. But and I always think about the dessert. You can drink, but I think about, like, how you laugh so much when you're there, and it becomes this kind of communal experience, you know, and it's just one of those things where I went recently with friends again for the first time in a long time, and I was just like, man, every time I go, even when it's not the best, it still is great, you know. So it's still, like, I don't know, it just reminds me, like, I would think about bringing my brother and my nephew and family members there. So it does have that, like, emotional connection for me now too, and I love being down there that time of year too.
And I personally think the food's great.
Oh yeah,
I think it's fantastic.
Classic.
Yeah, and they always do special things on holidays like that.
Yeah,
so you do get a special experience there when you do that. So what about you, Craig?
I already gave mine.
Garden Grill. mine. If I had to choose a place that wasn't California Grill, Liberty Tree Tavern, 50's Primetime.
Oh yeah,
That makes sense.
That whole, you know, it's the whole family thing. It's that whole family thing. Lots of comfort food.
I love
if you want to gorge yourself.
We would do that when we came down for Christmas.
Well, that's available. I was looking at what's available on Christmas Day. 50's Primetime is still available on Christmas Day. The other one that was available on Christmas Day that I just want to give a shout out to because it really...
Are we talking Thanksgiving or Christmas?
I'm going back and forth.
Okay, gotcha.
Because they're two different holidays.
Oh, I know.
So
obviously.
I was saying Christmas. But for Thanksgiving, I was saying 50's Primetime, but 50's Primetime is available on Christmas Day. The other ones that are available as of this morning on Christmas Day, the Ale & Compass over at Saratoga Springs. That's one is a hidden gem, folks. I've eaten there a couple of times now for dinner. It's only service dinner. Eaten there a couple of times for dinner, and wow, was it good. It was really good. This restaurant does not get a lot of press.
It's hidden. Yeah.
It's in the clubhouse, the club building, I guess is what they call it, on the golf course of Saratoga. The Boathouse is available, Brown Derby is available, and Hoop-De-Doo is available for both those holidays. Now that's all well and good if you are here in Orlando. Or going to be visiting Orlando, Disney World, for those holidays. But what about if you're not? One of the things we always talk about, something that's really important to me that I do, even though I live here and I'm in the parks all the time, there has to be elements of Disney and the parks brought into whatever I do, especially for Thanksgiving and Christmas. One of the things I love to do is... the recipe for Hoop-De-Doo cornbread. Easiest damn thing to make. My God, you could burn water and still make this. It really is so easy to make. And it's exactly the same as what you get in Hoop-De-Doo. Somewhere I have the recipe. We'll find it and post it. But it's their recipe. It's Disney's recipe for the cornbread. But I always try and fold things like that into... the cranberry relish I make for Thanksgiving is from Liberty Tree Tavern. because I think that is, and it's, there's no cooking involved with it. You're really just kind of blending up a lot of stuff. Delicious. I love that cranberry sauce. Now, again, I'm going to have to suspend diet for Thanksgiving if I want to eat any of that stuff. But
it's okay.
That's one of the ways, you know, I like to bring it in. In addition to decorate, I mean, all the decorations in my house at Christmas are pretty much, you know, Disney. Things I bought in the parks. It's one thing I like, the fact that those Christmas shops in the Magic Kingdom and Disney Springs are open year-round, so that you can go buy some of that stuff if you're not here at Christmas. But what about you guys? What do you do to bring what do you suggest for bringing the parks into your home if you can't be here on the holidays?
To me, it's about the decorations during the holidays. And for me, I always, like you said, we can buy these things all year long in the parks or online. But I like to get things after the holidays and pack them away so you don't see them and you've forgotten that you've purchased them. And then the next year comes and you
see. But I could do that 2 weeks before Christmas and forget I purchased it. So.
Right. Well, I had to pack it away. Like, I buy it. Like, I don't have any idea what I bought last year, but the week after Christmas, but I know I bought a crap load. I was going to say something else. And I immediately packed it away with when I packed away my Christmas. So when I pull it out in a couple of weeks, it's going to be exciting that those are things that I purchased almost a year ago, and it's going to add to my decor because I, you know, Halloween goes up, or you got your Halloween going up.
Charles, yep. Charles did the outside of the house.
Yeah, mine's going up this week.
I have not been complimented about by Teresa right now.
I was waiting to make sure it was you.
I'll wait till nighttime. You get the full effect.
I'll get the full
effect. Hanging out.
Oh, yeah, no, because we got the fog machine and oh, no, it's incredible.
Wow.
Did you put pictures on, like, I need to take credit for this publicly.
Oh, my God.
We will take...
My entire self-esteem is built on this simulated graveyard, Teresa. This is really, really important to me.
But no, it's about the decorations for me and also Disney movies. There's certain movies that you have to watch.
Are there particular ones that you...
I mean, obviously for Halloween, Hocus Pocus, and there's other ones. But no, it's just that, you know, you pull out the old movies and the parade on TV.
Well, Christmas Day, the Christmas Day parade, yeah. Yeah. Rhino, what about you?
I do kind of what you said, too. There's anytime I'm able to go home for Christmas, my aunt will make she came down to Disney a couple of years back, and she loved Ohana so much that she asked the chef for the dessert thing. So she makes that, and she does never burn off the alcohol quite as much as she's supposed to. So you can open it, and you're like, ah, there's rum coming. Diane's on her way in. So that's my aunt Diane that says that. So that's very nice of her. So I like to do that. One of the other things too is, you know, you can take your. I don't know why I only like want to do it around Halloween and the holidays. It's like I'll sometimes drink out of my Trader Sam's tiki mugs again, but I won't make that drink from them. I'll make like a new drink, and I'm like, oh, this is special. You need a special cup, and it's always like the Disney souvenir cups and stuff like.
I've got a mug that the one year I was in Disneyland during the Halloween season. And I got a little Halloween mug, and I only pull it out and drink hot chocolate in it you know, during the season.
Yeah, I honestly encourage people when you get like a souvenir popcorn bucket or sipper or whatever to try and find a way to like work it back in. And I feel like honestly, whatever those are, usually they work out really well showing up around Thanksgiving and Christmas. You know what I mean? Just pop one of the glow cubes in them or something like that, and it looks cool at night. You know?
Kathy, what do you do?
A lot of crafts that involve Disney. We also have a cast member name tag on the top of our Christmas tree.
Oh, really?
I took Katie's, and there was one time this guy came in and he had lost his name tag, and his name was Burris. So ever since, we call our Christmas tree Burris, but it's a name tag that I've blown up, you know, like a 2-foot name tag that sits on top of the tree. But everything Disney-wise, crafting that I can do, we do. And
you're quite crafty. You do a lot of stuff.
It's my therapy. And we also tell, like, for Christmas, we tell the story of how that's when Katie decided she wanted to be a cast member because she had such a great experience.
And didn't she just recently celebrate 15 years?
Yes.
As a cast member at Disney.
She got a silver main gate, yeah.
Wow.
But it was all because of a cast member that was nice to her at the resort at Christmas time, and she said that's what she wanted to do. And I didn't think she was going to do it, but she did.
Here she is.
So we tell that story every
Christmas. She loves her job.
She does.
She is one of those cast members, man. She loves her job. And she's perfect at it. She's made for it.
Yeah, and if you, we also have underneath the tree, we have the transportation and ticket center, or the ticket and transportation center. We have a little thing of Magic Kingdom, and we have cars and buses and stuff that pull up. That's instead of having like a manger scene, we have the TTC under the tree.
Jesus is riding a Disney bus.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. So
blasphemer.
Yes.
Corey, what about you? How do you bring Disney into your holidays?
Well, you know, for Thanksgiving...
He works.
Thanksgiving here, there's not really a lot of things Disney I bring into Thanksgiving here. I think when we celebrate it in New Orleans, it's more of me just giving planning advice and family members asking me if I can get discounts. That's Thanksgiving Disney. That's as far as it goes. Now, Christmas here, we have one of our trees is dedicated to the kids. It's their tree. They decorate it. Julie has trees.
That's a good idea.
Julie has trees that I cannot touch.
How many trees do you have?
It's like our house.
Have you seen his house?
Yeah, but like I thought, like
there's a tree in every room.
Like,
you could put 15 Christmas trees in there and not see two of them at the same time.
We have three trees, but they're all dedicated to certain things.
Okay.
But if this year we're going to spend Christmas in New Orleans, and what I like to do, I like to go to the Christmas store at Disney Springs and buy the character packs of ornaments. And so what we do every house that we visit, we secretly hang a Disney ornament on their tree.
That's sweet.
We don't tell them, but you know, they'll discover it when they take their tree down. Oh, Corey and Julie.
That's genius.
That's a sweet idea.
They're little tiny ornaments, but you know, they look more like Donald Duck to me. So let me hang that and
cute.
But just something little like a little tiny gift.
Was that Julie's idea?
No, that was actually my idea. When we first moved to Florida, I bought a bunch of Florida magnets, and I would put it on people's refrigerator. We'd go back to New Orleans.
You're a sneaky ass. Sneaky like that.
Wow, we are going to get an explicit rating for this show anyway. That's a great idea. So buying up a bunch of small Disney ornaments, and then
when you visit
sneaking them onto people's trees. Oh, that's a really great idea.
Wow.
With the opposite grin.
I'm creative sometimes.
Right? You're creative all the time. But Charles, what about you?
Yeah, so something that I've learned, you know, I get Christmas here, and with work and everything, we're inundated. But during the middle of the year, I do this if I travel anywhere. And I think if you don't have Disney and you're there for the holidays and you want to bring some of that magic, a lot of it's about attitude, right? Oh, yeah. There's this thing I used to do, and this is no joke. When I worked construction on a weekend and it was like a 10-hour day in the heat, I would pretend I was at the beach and my day would go by way better. I did the same amount of work, but the thought that I'm doing this at the beach, I wasn't working at the beach. It was just hot out. And so I would trick myself into having a good time, right? There are all these little things that you can do based on your actions and attitudes affect each other. So one thing that I noticed about people in Disney, like a lot of the joy that people have when they spend time with their friends and family, is showing them new things and being part of new experiences with them. So you can do that away from Disney and just think about it like I'm bringing Disney magic into somebody's life. So if somebody like needs a trip to the grocery store, and I know this sounds overly corny and lame and stuff like that, but like let's say you have a friend who needs a ride. Get in the car, load them up, take them to the grocery store. And when you do it, get excited about it. You know, don't make a big thing about it, but just get excited and be like, I'm helping this person out. This is great. Help them pick stuff out. Help them load the car up. Take it back home with them. And then the entire time, don't tell them this, but just think, you know what? I'm adding a little Disney magic into somebody else's life.
That.
And when you do that, you're going to start to feel Disney around you.
A little payback.
You know,
yeah.
You're going to get that joy that you get, the same joy when like, you show your kids what is going to become their favorite ride for the first time. You know, knowing somebody's going to love Big Thunder Mountain and taking them on it, like giving them that joy. You can do that in regular life. We just don't because it's not vacation time and we don't think about it. But the holidays, we start to feel that a little more. That's why Disney and the holidays go so much together, you know? So for me, it's like an attitude thing, just remembering. Bring people new experiences or share the experiences that I'm like blessed to have with them, you know?
I don't
Lordy,
I am glad I waited till last for you. That's great.
Yeah. Craig?
I know. I'm just
I don't pick people up, but I sent them an Uber code with a bunch of emojis.
Oh, I'm sorry, Craig.
But I'm going to bring it down.
He's feeling better.
I don't mean it in that way. Like, I have plenty of Disney decorations. That's most of our decorations, with popcorn buckets, mugs, ornaments. And, of course, I watch, like, my December 24th movie is always Muppet Christmas Carol. And I like watching all the classic Disney cartoons. But beyond that, I kind of put a divide between the holidays and Disney, just because Disney is so much like the life here. On Christmas Eve going into Christmas Day, like, that's the time when I think back to all the years growing up with my family and being together as a family. Disney wasn't really involved. I mean, yeah, my sister always wanted to watch the parade. If you know my feelings on the Disney Christmas Day parade, you know I hate it. I don't like one big long commercial. It's one long commercial. I don't like it anymore. I'm sure I did when I was a kid. Not these days. So for me, Christmas is a time that I actually, while I do incorporate Disney in some of those ways with the decorating and movies, music, I actually do separate it. I go for more the nostalgia factor, and that doesn't really involve Disney, just with the way I was brought up. So, but it's nice. I enjoy it all the way up, and then I switch to all my classic Christmas movies.
Are you already listening to Christmas music?
I started back in July.
I was going to say, he's been listening to Christmas music for months. Yeah, you know, and the reason that I thought it would be a good idea to have this discussion today is because, you know, again, Thanksgiving is 2 months away. Less than 2 months away.
Yeah.
It is, yeah, a little less than 2 months away. And, you know, found out recently I've got another trip that I wasn't necessarily planning on, that I'm going to be gone for another 2 weeks, the end of October. I'm like, Thanksgiving's coming. I really need to start thinking about this stuff now. Because if I want to do something special, if I want to add in something, because I really try every year to do something with my holidays, it's always better for me if I know what that is prior to, I don't know, the day before Thanksgiving, because it would happen then. I'm like, you know, I think kind of, and especially when it comes to like restaurant, if you're planning to be in Disney on these dates and you haven't made reservations yet, you need to make reservations, because pretty soon those restaurants are all going to be full. So I thought I'd just, you know, start getting in the mindset, folks. October's coming, and that's I know, I still haven't paid off last Christmas, and now I'm facing this Christmas. But over the course of the next few months, we're going to be doing a lot on different shows about ways to bring Christmas and Thanksgiving, or Disney, into your Christmas and Thanksgiving celebration. So thought it would be nice to get off to a little start with that. So, all right. Well, great discussion, everybody. Thank you very much. Thank you for being with us, all except that guy.
We got it done, though, didn't we?
We got it done. Yeah, we got it done.
Get it done.
So, thanks, everybody, for being with us. That is going to do it for this episode of our show. We hope you enjoyed it. And we'll be back with you again next week with another edition of the Diz Unplugged. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, stay out of the damn lakes.